to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to read you guys an example of how Paul can give you so much in just one verse. Because today I'm just going to share with you one verse. But this one verse has three things that you should be doing in your life constantly if you want the word of God to do something in your life. I feel like, you know, sometimes we become a part of Maven House, we become a part of church, we become a part of so many things, and our lives are exactly the same. And that's because a relationship with God is not institutionalized. A relationship with God, you know, you can be a part of a million clubs and a million things, but if you don't allow it to be a part of your life, nothing will happen. So in this verse, I want you guys to pay close attention to three things that should be happening in your life constantly. And then throughout your day, I want you to ask yourself, are you doing these three things? All right. So 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and also we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work constantly in you believers. Three things really quick. The first is that he says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received the word of God. I will never tire of reminding you guys how important it is to receive the word of God on a constant basis, to allow the word of God to reach your ears. I know it sounds silly and overly simplistic, maybe, but the word of God cannot do anything in you if you have not heard it. And many of us, and I want to specify what I mean, we need to receive the word of God and we need to understand and study the word of God, because a lot of us, we float around in the same four Bible verses that are the most famous Bible verses on Instagram. So a lot of us were like, what do you mean I received the word of God? I know Jeremiah 29:11. I know John 3:16. I know, you know what I mean? And like, we float around in the same verses. But one of the reasons why we're getting into the epistles, one of the reasons why I want you guys to read books of the Bible that you might skip over normally. People skip over Colossians. People skip over 1 Thessalonians. People are asleep on Jude, you know? But those are parts of the word that you need to receive, you need to get to. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, read the entire Bible every month, or it's not about quantity, but it is about at least getting access to the word of God. So the first question I want you to ask yourself is, am I doing it? Am I even allowing the word of God to reach my ears? You know, he says here, he says, as you received from us, we live in a generation. Back then, the Thessalonians, they could only hear this from Paul. Really, it was like either Paul or Timothy. Paul had to write them a letter, or Timothy had to go in person, or Paul had to go in person. And Paul was traveling all over, you know, the world at that time. It wasn't the whole world, but, you know, Paul was traveling everywhere and it would take him months to come back. But we live in a generation where you can go on your phone and today you could hear a word from one of the, you know, from great men. Just this weekend in the Exodus, you know, we were all laughing at Ashley, because she was talking about how she was listening to Benny Hinn. And, you know, in a click of a button, you can listen to great men of God like Benny Hinn. At the click of a button, you can listen to amazing men of God. Are you allowing yourself to do that? We have a Bible reading plan in Maven House. Are you allowing that word to reach you? So that's the first question. The second is, he says, when you heard it from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. And this is something else that I want you to question yourself today, because we tend to love the word of God as long as it is what we want to hear. We tend to love the word of God as long as it sounds like something inspiring, or it sounds like something that logically makes sense to us. But the second that we hear something in the word of God that confronts us, or that doesn't sit well with the ideology that we already have, what we tend to do is say, no, 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 they got that wrong. No, 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 that must be word of man. And we don't go and check, and we don't take it to the Holy Spirit to see if it really was word of God. Now, I'm not saying you accept anything from anyone. The Bible does tell us to test the spirits. But what Paul's speaking about here is, he's talking about the difference between the Thessalonians, for example, and the Philippians. If you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, he complains about the Philippians. And he says, the Philippians did not allow us to teach them because they didn't accept our words and they treated us poorly. And we have a lot of people today in the Christian community and in the community of the Lord who don't allow the word of God to work in them because they're constantly questioning it. And what we really have, what that shows us, is a lack of humility. What we have is people who say they want to change, but we clearly don't really want to change, because if you really wanted to change, then when something confronted you, you'd wrestle with it. I'm not telling you to accept anything you hear, but I am telling you to wrestle with the things that you don't like instead of just throwing them away. We live in a generation where if something doesn't mesh with our views politically, we just throw it away. We only follow people on Instagram who reaffirm what we already believe and what we already think. I mean, I'm not telling you to follow Satanists on Instagram, but I am telling you that if somebody's speaking what they say is the word of God and it confronts you, wrestle with it. God's not afraid of your questions. God's not afraid of you asking, is this really what the word of God means there? I remember the other day I posted a video, and in the video I was talking about a passage from Romans where it says, vengeance is the Lord's. And he actually says that again. Paul says that to the Romans, but he says it again to the Thessalonians. I call them the first Thessalonians, but no, there's not, just so you know, there's not a first and a second Thessalonians. They're two different books, but they're the same people. Anyway, he says it to the Romans and he says it to the Thessalonians. He says, vengeance is the Lord's. God is going to repay the people who are evil to you. And I put that in a video. You know, I wasn't trying to like be hateful, but that is the word of God. And I put it in a video, and somebody put on my comments. They said, this is horrible what you're saying. God is not vengeful. And I was like, lady, I didn't say it like this, but I was like, you have to go read the scripture. And I put the scripture word for word. And she was like, oh. And that's a pure example. I mean, I don't judge her. She didn't know the word, but that's a pure example of what we do sometimes. We hear something that we think doesn't sound true, so we assume automatically that it's not the word of God. We assume automatically that it doesn't come from God. But I want to encourage you guys, wrestle with it. Ask questions. Go to somebody who knows. Find a leader. Text them. Say, do you know what this means? Take it to the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not being confronted by the word, then that means that the word's not doing anything in you. You should be confronted by the word. You're the word, like I said last week, should be your constant chiropractor. It should be constantly aligning your spine to the word. And like I said last week, when you go to the chiropractor, it hurts sometimes. You know, they literally have to crack you into place. And that's what the word of God does. So Paul commends the Thessalonians. He says, you didn't hear the word and simply dismiss it because it came from me. You didn't judge more the vessel than you judge the word, because we do that too. We say, no, well, now this person is canceled. No, I don't like this person. I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the shoes they have on. Oh, they have Gucci shoes. So they must be, you know, I don't know. They must not be humble. So I'm not going to hear from them. And we judge the vessel instead of allowing the word of God to act in us. And that's the last point. So the first point is you have to receive the word. The second point is you have to accept the word. And the third is you have to let the word work in you. He says this word, which is at work constantly in you. So once you receive the word, once you accept the word, you have to put the word to action. It does not make any sense. I love you guys. I don't want you guys to quit Maven House, but it doesn't make any sense for you to be a part of Maven House, even for you to read all the books of the Bible and the Maven House prayer, you know, Bible reading plan, for you to be on every single prayer call, for you to go to church every Sunday, if you are not going to let that word work in you. And what that means is that means I'm going to hear the word. Sometimes that word is going to confront me. Sometimes that word is going to bother me. Sometimes I'm going to have to wrestle with it. But at the end of the day, if I'm wrestling with a humble heart, the truth is going to come out. And that truth, I need to let that truth manifest itself in my life. And I'm not talking about like manifesting with crystals or anything. The word manifest simply means to make itself shown. So when I hear, for example, a word on tithes and offerings instead of just saying, nah, that's because this church wants a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to wrestle with that. I'm going to take it to the Lord. I'm going to look in the word. And when I realize that it is true that Jesus himself said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Now that I know that word and now that I've accepted that word, I've got to give those tithes and offerings. I'm just giving an example. I can't just sit there and listen and not do it. I've got to put the word to action. Faith without works is dead. And a lot of us complain. We go to God and we complain. Why is my life still like this? You know, we don't give our tithes and offerings. And we say, why am I going through so many financial struggles? Why am I poor all the time? Well, there's a word and you're not acting on it. You're not doing what is in the word. You know, why is my marriage so horrible? Okay, because you have read the Bible, but the Bible's telling you to be humble and you're so prideful in your marriage. You're not allowing that word to work in you. The word should be always working on something. I want you guys to ask yourself a question today. I want you guys to ask yourself, what word is actively working in me today? What am I working on? What am I chewing on? What am I meditating? Something in your life should be changing you. And it shouldn't just be, oh, you know, I learned today that the Lord has a plan for my life. So that's great. I love that. Yes, that's great. I love that. There are verses like that. There are verses that are there for your encouragement and your inspiration and your comfort. That's absolutely true. But that's why you need to read more of the Bible than just the Bible verses that, you know, you find in Hobby Lobby. You have to read a little bit more of it, because if you push a little bit further, yes, you'll be encouraged. Yes, you'll be filled with love. Yes, you know, it's going to be amazing, but also you're going to learn something that you have to change. You're going to learn something that you have to adjust. You're going to have to grow in humbleness. You're going to have to grow in self-control. You're going to have to grow in an area of your life. And if right now there is no word that is challenging you, then my challenge for you is to go find one. My challenge for you is to read 1 Thessalonians if you still haven't. Read 2 Thessalonians, because there's a lot in there that will challenge you. And on Friday, I'm going to be doing a deeper exploration of this. Friday at 6, if you don't know how to read the word and kind of take those things out, that's fine. We'll go through it together. But look for that. That's why he says, you heard this word from us. You accepted it. And it's at work in you constantly. If you want to see a change in your life, then this is what you need. You need to hear God's word, learn God's word. You need to accept it. And you need to allow it to work in you. So that's my prayer for each and every single one of you guys, that you're able to do that. Don't forget that throughout this day, we're going to be taking prayer requests on the chat. I do read that chat. I will be answering you guys, especially on Wednesdays. I read it because, you know, there are some days that I'm not able to get to that phone, but on Wednesdays, I'm very attentive to it. Wednesdays is a light day for me at work. So I'm able to kind of just take breaks throughout the day and be praying for you guys throughout the day. And I will be doing that. So feel open to do that and put yourself out there and get yourself a prayer partner. I know that it may seem a little bit awkward. And I know that some of you guys might be shy or whatever, but I was really pleasantly surprised to see that a lot of you guys, even in the English, are putting yourself out there. And I want to encourage the rest of you guys to also, because wherever two or more are gathered, things begin to happen, and iron sharpens iron. And having someone in your life, you right now, you don't know them. Right now, you're a stranger. They're a stranger. But just having someone in your life who just is praying with you is an amazing thing to have. So I encourage you guys to do that. I love you guys. And let's go ahead and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every single maven in this chat, Father God. Your word, maven, the word maven in Hebrew means one who understands. And I pray, God, that you would make each one of us understanding women of faith. I pray, Father God, for those of us who you're convicting in this moment because we haven't really heard the word. We haven't been making time to allow the word to even reach us. We're so busy and we're running at 100 miles an hour constantly. And we're just, it's not catching up. It's not able to catch up to us. But I pray, Father God, that you would urge us and give us the strategies on how to slow down. I pray that you would give us the method that's going to work with us. It doesn't have to be perfect every time, but we need to be hearing your word, because it's not only about the gifts. It's not only about church. It's not only about the external things that go on in our Christian life. It's also about that word just working in us. We need that word to work in us. We need that word to adjust us. We need that word to change who we are from the inside out. Sometimes, God, it's not our circumstances that need to change. It's us. It's our heart. Sometimes we need to grow, like I said before, in humbleness. We need to be growing in understanding of you. Father God, I pray for a generation of women who don't understand you based on what we've heard from other people, but from a revelation of your word, from who you say you are. What point is it to hear a million rumors about someone if you can meet the person yourself? I pray, God, that we would meet you in your word. I pray that we would hear about you and know that it's you. I pray that those times in your word would lead us to greater prayer times, to greater moments of just understanding who you are and who you are to us and our identity. Because a healthy identity, Father, comes from knowing who we are in you and being able to put that into action and being able to live that out. So, Father God, I pray if any one of us has not been living in the fullness of our identity, I pray that you would reveal that to us. I pray that you would show us, that you would teach us, that you would allow your word to be manifest in us. That when people look at us, they would see your word being manifest, that they would see an example. That's another thing Paul says to the Thessalonians. He says, you don't even have to preach about your love because people can see it in the way that you live. God, I pray for more moments where we don't have to force our beliefs on other people, where people are asking us for them because they see that we're living the word of God. So many times people don't want to accept our preaching because they don't see it real in us. But I pray that we would be a real, true, living testimony to who you are, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.